In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. When we think of the word tradition, or think of traditions themselves, we often think of something we do, and particularly something that's been done for a very long time. A tradition is something our grandparents, grandparents, grandparents did that we've been doing our whole lives, that we learned as a toddler. Or maybe it's our first time doing something, but we pick it up from a group that's been doing it for generations. In America, we have lots of traditions. Fireworks on the 4th of July, costumes on Halloween, turkey on Thanksgiving. For most of us in December, we kill a perfectly good tree, drag it into our homes, and cover it with lights. Of course, traditions can change over time. Some folks fashion metal and plastic into the shape of a tree and decorate that. Some people have Cornish game hens instead of turkey. But these changes even still reflect and are somehow anchored to the tradition itself. We also have church traditions. Everything from the order of liturgy to the music that we love to sing, to the way we welcome infants, to the reverence with which we bury the dead. All of these things are traditions, we'd agree. And even in the church, the details can change and flow over time and from place to place. But they're still always anchored and will always reflect the core tradition of the church. Now, these are examples of tradition. But what is a tradition itself? What does the word actually mean? A tradition is literally something like a practice or a teaching that is both received and then handed down. Something that's both received and delivered. It has to be both. It has to be both. First of all, it has to be received. If you're the first person to do something, it's not a tradition. It could become a tradition if it's handed down and received and handed down and received. But it's not one yet if you're the first to do it. A tradition has to be both received and delivered. And everything from Christmas trees to funeral rites are received from people before us and delivered to those who come after us. Now, I bring all this up to reflect on what St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians that Krista read for us this morning. In reminding the Corinthians of the foundation of their faith, which is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, Paul says this. He says, "I delivered to you that which I first received." I delivered what I first received. In other words, I am in the middle of a tradition, Paul is telling us. I didn't start this. I didn't make this up. I received it. And I'm not the end. I'm not the goal. I'm in the middle. I received this gospel, and here I deliver it to you. This gospel, then, this gospel is the core not only of the Corinthian church, but to us, the gospel is the core of our very lives as well. This gospel of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the ultimate tradition. It's what Paul said. It's what Jesus says in John's gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This is the ultimate tradition. And of course, we receive this tradition many ways, through sacraments, through the liturgy, through sermons and teachings, through scripture, through the lives of the saints. But just like a tradition must be received to be genuine, it also must be delivered. If it's not delivered, it's no longer a tradition. Some of you may have watched the Tokyo Olympics this summer. I don't know if you know this, but most track and field events are based on the training of soldiers in ancient times. Pole vault is scaling your enemy's walls. Shot put comes from moving cannonballs. Javelin, I think, is fairly obvious. One of my favorite events is the relay race. Did you ever notice the baton in a relay race is shaped an awful lot like a rolled up scroll? That's not an accident. The relay race is originally a training exercise for sending news and military orders as fast as possible. You know, a tandem of runners, each running a little bit, could get a scroll from the king to the field general a lot faster than a single runner could get that scroll there. So was born our relay race with the baton. The reason I mention this is because a relay race is really a wonderful, almost perfect icon of tradition. You can't win the race on your own. At the same time, your team can't win without you. Nobody will win without the baton. I don't care how fast you are. If the baton that you received and that you delivered, if that baton does not cross the finish line, your team does not win. That's just how the rules go. And it has to be the original baton. If you drop one, you can't just substitute your own baton and keep running. I mean, imagine in the real world situation, what would happen if a soldier dropped the king's scroll and so made up his own and delivered that, right? Not only might he get his fellow soldiers killed, he himself is going to be in a boatload of trouble. All of which means what? We are recipients of a priceless treasure. This gospel of the resurrection, this gospel of healing and new life, this gospel of forgiveness and reconciliation, this gospel of God so loving the world that he sent his son that whoever believes in him does not perish but come into eternal life. We have received this treasure, this tradition, this baton, this scroll. We receive it from our fathers and mothers. We receive it from our clergy. We receive it from the saints gone before us. And while it's in our possession, it is our turn to carry and run with it and nurture this very treasure. Now, the first and most obvious way you receive and nurture this tradition is to be here, to be right here. It's what you're doing right now. The liturgy is our common work. The liturgy is sacrament. The liturgy is scripture. The liturgy is music. The liturgy is teaching. The liturgy is community. The liturgy is the work of saints, all rolled into one. And now the world, circumstances, is going to try to throw an awful lot of reasons at you in order to try to get you to miss this vital and God-given event. And occasionally, those reasons will be legitimate. Many times, less so. But anytime we are not at liturgy, we are not receiving the baton, we are not carrying the baton, we are not carrying God's scroll, we are not nurturing the gospel tradition for ourselves or for the next runners, the next generation. And of course, liturgy is primary, but it's hardly the only way. In our homes, in our lives, we can read the gospels. We can have genuine prayer time. We can actively do something good for the less fortunate. We can reach out to someone who is lost or lonely. And it's not just study and service. It's also just letting yourself be with God. Just be with God. I mean, instead of having your morning coffee in front of the TV or computer, what if you found somewhere beautiful and had your morning coffee with God in an intentional and aware way? I mean, that kind of quiet and peaceful and joyful time with God is also an essential part of the tradition. Now, if receiving and carrying are the first two parts, the final step, of course, is delivering your handoff. And unless you're the last runner, you also need to deliver the baton forward. And there's so many ways we can deliver the tradition that we have received. You know, Sunday school is starting next week. What a perfect example, a glorious icon of delivering the joy of the gospel to the kids that we've received in order to be able to deliver it forward. You know, you get a sermon every Sunday. You get the gospel every Sunday. What if we were to discuss that on the way home? We're sharing the gift. We're passing the baton forward, even within our family, even within our carpool. Invite someone else to have that morning coffee with you, with God. Tell them about a blessing that God gave you in the past week, a blessing that you received from God that you're now sharing with somebody else. You know, the ideas are endless. The ideas are endless. But the important part is to get started, to find ways to deliver the gift that you have received. You know, there's a lot of traditions in this world, some greater than others, but none are greater than what St. Paul mentions in today's epistle and Jesus declares in John's gospel. the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that grants the gift of eternal life. And just like a tradition must be received to be genuine, it must be delivered to remain alive. If it's not delivered, it's no longer a tradition. You've received the baton, and it's your turn to carry and nurture what you have received, and in turn to deliver it safely and joyfully to all who come after you. Amen.